Well, good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 16 in verse 6 is our text this morning. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Mark's account of the resurrection begins in chapter 16 in verse 1. "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, this would seem like an Easter Sunday sermon, but we can preach on the resurrection any week we like. Amen? This is the 23rd and final sermon in this series of sermons from the Gospel of Mark, dating back to May 1st of last year. And I thought it fitting that we close out with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the capstone event of our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this, beginning in verse 3. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now the angel began by saying to the women, I'm going to try this, "Do not be alarmed." These women came hoping to perform a post-mortem service to the Lord. Jesus had already been buried Friday afternoon before sundown, according to Jewish custom. As we read, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus, And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And then he took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So the women arrive at the tomb to find the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. Now, they should have expected that. In the Old Testament record, David wrote of the Messiah 1,000 years before, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol," in other words, in the grave, "nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And on several occasions, Jesus spoke of his own resurrection to come, which would occur on the third day. Now, if anyone were to come to any other tomb, be it Muhammad's, or Charles Taze Russell's, or Mary Baker Eddy's, or Confucius's, there will still be a body there. But if suddenly the tomb was opened up and the body was missing, folks would be rightfully alarmed, for it obviously would have been moved by men. Nobody but Jesus ever claimed the power of the resurrection of himself. He claimed it being God, and he backed it up. He had said this, "My Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." The angel said to Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I should hope that you came here this morning to seek Jesus of Nazareth. People come to this place seeking a museum, to see fine art, to connect with the past. And some even come here from time to time under protest. But if you leave here having only seen a nice place, but not Jesus of Nazareth, then you have seen only a sepulcher, a grave, and your spirit has failed to be awakened. So if you've come today and have honestly said to me, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," then you shall be pleasantly surprised this morning. For he is risen, and this means certain things for you. First, that prophecy has been fulfilled. Of this we have already spoken, and you need not look for another to come. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, friends, Jesus, the Son of God, is God's last word, his saving word to men, women, and children everywhere. We need not look for another, the next latest and greatest revelation. We have enough. It is enough that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Jesus has demonstrated his deity for all to see. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Paul begins his great theological treatise, the book of Romans, with these words, "And everything that would be said thereafter would be hinged upon the capstone of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." But you may say, "I must see it to believe it." Friend, there were ample witnesses. At one point, over 500 brethren at once saw the risen Christ. And nobody was able to dispute it. Given all of the evidence, historical and in the biblical record, it takes a lot of faith to reject and to deny the resurrection. But even so, you only need a little faith, even faith as a mustard seed. Jesus said this, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." But we can be assured of this, that having not seen and believed, we have the hope of a day when we will see him as he is in all of his glory, power, and might. He who is mighty to save and condescended to come down to earth as a humble servant, to shed his blood for the salvation of our souls. Now, if you believe the gospel that our angel friend presented in our text, that Jesus was crucified, was laid in the tomb, and is risen, Mark 16:6, that's why I chose it. Great gospel verse. Then this promise of the Lord is for you. Because I live, you will live also. But if anyone rejects the gospel preached by Jesus, preached by our angel friend, preached by the apostles, and preached by the Bible-believing church, we don't preach our own message. We preach the same message that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that was preached by the apostles and the prophets, that was preached by Jesus Christ, and that was preached in veiled form throughout the Old Testament. Now, if you reject these things, you ought to be spiritually alarmed at this point. This morning, it is time to get off the fence and to make a decision to receive Jesus as your risen Lord, God, and Savior. Thus far, you have rejected him. You have hated the holy lifestyle because you have loved sin. Now, there are going to be folks out there over the next month celebrating their religion. But do you celebrate your faith, the true religion, with the same heart and the same zeal that the sinners do? Let us hear the gospel, the very word that the Christian never tires of hearing, and that the unbeliever desperately needs. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You see, when folks are invested in their evil deeds, what do? They reject the light, and they create their own religion. They may not call it that, but it's their own system, their own code to live by. And it's a false code. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And pertaining to the resurrection, Jesus says this to each and every one of us here this morning. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And for 2,000 years, each and every one of us must answer the question, upon which response our eternal destiny hangs. Do you believe this? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great and glorious gospel. We thank you that you have provided your Son as a sacrifice in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins. We thank you for the resurrection and the hope that it brings. Lord, we thank you that you have provided a better way, a holy way of living. And that you have redeemed us from the power of sin, which holds sway in this present age. Lord, that your people might be encouraged, that our zeal might be increased, that your word may burn as a fire in our bones. And that any who need to be awakened to the glorious truth of your gospel, will accept us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.